Welcome, everybody, to the morning worship service, Grace Baptist Church. So good to see you all. Pray for our many members who are out blessing somebody else this day as we are in the holiday season. As you perhaps can tell from the hymns that we sang, this is a Sunday morning where we're emphasizing worship. Romans 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, for these words, for the truth that they represent. Who is more worthy of gratitude and worship than our Lord? Yea, all things pale to insignificance compared to the worth of our Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would so align our thoughts, cause our hearts to swell up in praise of the God who made us, sustains us, and one day shall judge us. We thank You for Your perfect wisdom. We thank You for immeasurable power. We thank You for Your providence and involvement and love, that You would take sinners as we and use us in a positive way for accomplishing Your will. There is none like God, none other worthy to be praised as God. May Thy Holy Spirit bring to our minds a deeper, more wondrous comprehension of the God who is our Lord. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And the title of our message today is, Our God is the Giver of Eternal Life. Let us worship Him. Romans 6, 22, 23. Everyone loves a Cinderella story. You know what a Cinderella story is? Servant girl rises to royalty. Washed-up athlete delivering pizzas rises to Super Bowl champion quarterback. Rags to riches, pauper to prince, bum to hero. Well, Christian, there is no greater Cinderella story than yours. You have been born again. You have gone from slave of sin to servant of righteousness. You have gone from barrenness to fruit bearing, from despair to hope, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from endless death to eternal life. Here comes the reporter. Microphone. To what, sir, do you credit this stunning reversal in your life? This epitome, this zenith, this most high representation of a Cinderella story. To what do you credit this reversal? Well, madam, I can point to one verse that tells it all. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God, the gift. What is a gift? Webster defines it as property which is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. Shall I repeat that? A gift is property transferred from one to another voluntarily, without compensation. That's what's happened. God has transferred property to us freely, voluntarily. What property has he transferred? Well, he's given a substitute victim to receive our punishment. He's given subsequent complete pardon for all our transgressions, and all of us have a rap sheet a mile long. Thirdly, he's given us a declaration of complete righteousness. God sees you and me as perfect as he himself is in the person of Christ. Fourthly, he's given us utter and eternal reconciliation with God. You couldn't get closer. We were far apart due to sin. God has done this and that forever. Fifthly, he's giving us a meaningful mission for the rest of our lives, planned, empowered, and directed by God himself. Sixthly, he's given us fellowship with God now and forever. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what is the property which God has transferred to us who have believed? Substitute victim, complete pardon, complete righteousness, eternal reconciliation, meaningful mission, fellowship with God now and forever. Not a bad list. And all this is voluntarily transferred? Yes. God chooses to do it, completely separate from our worthiness to receive it. And how is this transferal put into motion? Believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. No compensation is required. Indeed, none is allowed. Otherwise, a gift is not a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. You might ask, what kind of God would do such a thing? And in such a way? And the short answer is, a God who is worthy of all worship. And so we are told, Matthew 4:10, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt thou serve. 1 Chronicles 16:29, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, the Lord, our Maker. Revelation 14:7, fear God and give glory to him and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The God who would do such a thing for us is a God worthy of all worship, and so we are charged to do worship him. That's a glorious undertaking. We will attempt it today. The worship of God. Last time we introduced a name of God, Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. We'll expand on his names as a way of worshiping God today. There's a reason that God gives us his names, to enlighten and compel us to worship him. Each name tells us more wonderful truths about him. Oh, his name, his wonderful name. We love his names. We rehearse his names. They remind us of this side and that side and this side and this aspect of the God who has given us eternal life. Now, we have discussed some of the names before. Some of you may remember them all or remember some of them. For some, this will be new information. But I think in all cases, it's good to review it, to reinforce it, and make application to this verse. What we're going to do today is exalt who God is based on his names and see the relevance of that to Romans 6:23. So let's go through some of the names of our God. First of all, if you would go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. The base name for all the ones that follow is Jehovah. I want to reinforce what Jehovah means. Now, Exodus chapter 3 is not the first time in the Bible where the name Jehovah appears, but it is given a full illustration there to Moses at the burning bush. We read in Exodus 3:2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," Moses, "in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." This is the Lord revealing what it means to call him Jehovah. I am the type where I can have fire in a bush and the bush not burn. The word Jehovah, as he explains later in verses 13 and 14, can be expressed as "I am that I am." The Lord derives his being from no one or no thing. He just is. He doesn't need oxygen. He doesn't need gravity. He doesn't need a spatial time temporal universe. He needs nothing. He just is. He needs nothing from nobody. And anybody who has existence gets it from him. He predates, he precludes everything. And all that follows was his work. He's Jehovah. Now, God expresses that in the number of ways that he deals with his chosen people. This self-existing one does not need people of childbearing age to produce millions of people. Of all women, he chooses a woman who is 90 years old by the time she gives birth. She's been barren for, 70 plus years. And God chooses her to be what he calls a mother of nations. Why? Because Jehovah doesn't need people of childbearing age to produce millions of people. As he takes these people through the wilderness, he shows that he does not need water and he does not need food to sustain millions of people in a desert. He can make water flow from a rock. He can make bread fall from the air. He's Jehovah. As they go to the promised land, doesn't matter if there are many or there are few, because Jehovah does not need military advantage to cast nations from their lands. Oh, you go with 30,000, they're going to think that you get the credit. You go there with 10,000, 12,000. Let's go with 300 against a multitude. That's later on in their history. You have Jonathan who understands this. He goes against a multitude of Philistines by himself. Says the Lord's not hampered to save by many or by few. That's who Jehovah is. The point is that the Lord Jehovah is an inexhaustible fountain, a perpetual motion machine, as it were. The one who defies the fundamental laws of thermodynamics, such as nothing is ever created nor destroyed. Jehovah is the cause and sustainer who needs no resources to do all that he does, including creating or destroying anything he wants. See, you got this bush. It's on fire, but it doesn't burn. The message is, there's a fire that doesn't need fuel to burn. God says, I can have it in the middle of that bush. He doesn't need the woodiness. He doesn't need the straw. He doesn't need anything there to keep that flame going. In fact, here's the bush. Let's take the fire out. It can sit in the middle of nowhere. Just be suspended in air. No wood, no gas. You could do it without oxygen because he doesn't need any of that stuff. He's Jehovah. And so when we look at Romans 6:23, and we're told that the wages of sin is death, one might be inclined to say, oh no, God needs some help here, surely, because here's his humanity. All have sinned. Wages of sin is death. All of them are dead to him. How can he fix that? He can't just snap his fingers and say, okay, now you're not sinners anymore. Now you're not dead. And so, why doesn't he consult the best minds of the age? Maybe make some conference calls. And they can together devise a plan to save humanity. Doesn't have to because he's Jehovah. He doesn't need anybody's help in anything, including any thought. Well, maybe we should contribute our goodness. So he does this, and we meet him halfway and do that. Then we go forward into heaven. God doesn't need anybody to contribute goodness. Well, maybe he needs dynamite to break the back of sin or to break open the gates of hell. Listen, you don't catch what Jehovah means yet. He didn't need anything from anybody to do anything. I am Jehovah. I create light. I make darkness, he says. The fact that our God is Jehovah makes sense. Out of all the following names I'm going to give you, the first one is Jehovah Jireh. These are hyphenated names. Jireh is spelled J-I-R-E-H. Give my Hebrew if I'm not pronouncing these words correctly. Jehovah Jireh. Do you remember when that name was first introduced in the Scriptures? Who was involved? Abraham and Isaac. We find the story in Genesis chapter 22. If you would turn there, we'll start reading in verse 7. Genesis 22, 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." You go to verse 14, you see what happens. Abraham's ready to thrust the knife into his son, but there is the ram, the substitute which God has supplied. And so the ram instead is sacrificed instead of Abraham's son. And in verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Oh, if we would comprehend Jehovah, who can do anything, commits himself to providing to you and me. The Lord will provide. We have verses such as Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply what? All your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When we worry and we doubt and we fidget and fudget and can't stand what's happening because we want this and that to happen, God says, "I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide you all that you need. My God shall supply," there's the verb, "all your need according to his riches in glory." That means that's the measure of it. If we're told so-and-so will provide to you according to all that's in his bank account, then you find out he's got $10 in his bank account, it doesn't mean very much. But the Lord, his storehouse in glory is infinite. So God has an infinite storehouse of what we need that he can supply. So we read in 2 Corinthians 9:8, the most sweeping statement, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." We need to get an idea here, the fact that we have this unlimited source that will flow through us. So we have enough. We have sufficient unto every good work. Why? Jehovah Jireh. That's the way he is. The Lord will provide. And you see the connection with that truth and with Romans 6:23. How do sinners get reconciled to holy God? The Lord will provide. In keeping with the Abraham-Isaac story, he provides a sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Consequently, the gift is eternal life." God provided a substitute. That's who he is. He's Jehovah. And he's Jehovah Jireh. And he's also Jehovah Tsidkenu. You familiar with that name? T-S-I-D-K-I-N-U, Tsidkenu. That name is found in Jeremiah 23:6, and it means the Lord, our righteousness. This text in Jeremiah 23 looks forward to the day when Christ shall bodily reign on earth, at which time all Israel shall be saved, for God will have made them righteous. The Lord, our righteousness. And this righteousness is a positive thing, not just a negative of taking away guilt and punishment, but the attributing of the righteousness of God to those who trust in him. That's why we are described in the future as wearing robes of white linen. That linen is the righteousness of Christ. We're clothed in His righteousness. God sees us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we quote, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Made it. Jehovah Tzidkenu does that. He takes dirty, rotten sinners, makes them righteous. Not just forgiven felons, but righteous. Romans 3:22. What a wonderful use of prepositions here. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." The righteousness of God, placed upon all who believe in Christ. We've come to worship God today as we learn more about Him in Romans 6:23. And we have seen so far that He is Jehovah, I am that I am, the self-existing one. That He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Next we go to Jehovah Rapha. This one we've already introduced, R-A-P-H-A. And that word means the Lord that heals. That name is introduced in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. That's where the people have wandered for 3 days in the desert. They're thirsty. They come to water, but they cannot drink it because the waters are bitter. But the Lord heals the water as a branch is thrown in the water. So our Lord, see the progression here. He is who He is. Therefore, He can provide a means by which we can be reconciled to Him. And not just reconciled as forgiven sinners, but made as righteous as God Himself. And as we continue, we see He's the Lord who heals us. We could be grieved over all the bitterness of our lives, mistakes we've made, way we have been mistreated, wasted time, and all of that. The Lord can heal it all and make bitter waters sweet. We read in Psalm 103, worship. Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Now there might be some here who would say, "What diseases? I am not sick." Jesus said, as a great physician, He has come to heal the sick. Those who are healthy or whole need no physician. But all of us are sick. We just need to be convinced of it. And Jehovah Rapha has come to heal us. Heal our understanding. Heal our desires. Heal our powers. Heal our history. Heal our perspective on life. Heal us who are lame, blind, deaf, dumb, sick. When we look at all that Jesus did, nothing was done by accident. Nothing was done but it had more meaning. And so if He took a lame person and made him to walk, or blind to see, or deaf to hear, or mute to speak, and so on, there's a message to you and me. God can take our miserable lives and restore us to Him and declare us righteous. And then He can heal all the ways in which before we had maladies. We who did not walk in His way, our feet are now healed, and we can walk in His paths. We who had been deaf to His word, now our ears are open and we can hear. We who are blind to spiritual reality now see the things which God says we are to see. We who are dead were raised to life. Do you know Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Yes, we who are dead in sins were given life from Jehovah Rapha. The next name of God is Jehovah Shalom. You don't have to know much Hebrew to be familiar with Shalom. It means peace. This word means the Lord our peace. Do you know when that word was introduced in the Scriptures? It's in the book of Judges, introduced through Gideon. Judges chapter 6, let's turn there, and verse 22. through 24. The Lord has appeared. Well, an angel of God has appeared. And Gideon is stunned by the fact that he has seen an angel of the Lord face to face. That's verse 22. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." You get a visitation from the Lord, and you figure, my goose is cooked. He's just shook to the soles of his feet. He's afraid, what is God going to do to me, an unrighteous sinner? But God says, I've come in peace to give comfort. And so in verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. God gives comforting assurance at the end of the conflict and the bringing of peace. Some people can't seem to get that assurance that all is right between them and God. They might think, I've done so much wrong, I've failed so many ways, or I've never been thought of as a good person. People always told me I'm not, and I'm a failure at this, never succeeded. God says, it's all in my camp. I'm Jehovah. I do it all. All you got to do is receive it. I do everything. I come in peace. Peace I give you. Peace I leave unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. It's John 14, 27. The soul can be shocked with the first half of Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But here comes Jehovah Shalom to give us deep, confident, abiding assurance of the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsekinu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. Next is Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. That name is introduced in Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 12. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Here is a story where Moses is praying for God's chosen people as they're fighting the Amalekites. And Moses' arms get tired, and they go down, and then Israel is faltering. Then he raises up that rod and prays this way, and Israel moves forward. And when the battle is completed, that place is called Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We read in verse 12 of Exodus 17, Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him. He sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. We read in verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. See, some people go into war, go under the banner of North Carolina, California, South Dakota, or United States, or Great Britain, whatever it is. We go fight under the banner of Jehovah. We go representing Him. He's our general. He's our planner. He's our empowerer. He's the one who gives us victory. He's the one who reminds us of what he says in Exodus 14, 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you. Why do you want to fight a battle? God's already won. And God, who is Jehovah, has already, he just wants to give this to you. He's Jehovah Nissi. Go forward under his banner. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We read in Joshua 10, 42, and all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Friends, we are in a great war. It determines the destiny of our soul. God alone can win this war. God alone gets all the glory for victory. The victory over sin and the establishing of eternal life for souls like you and me. It's Jehovah. It's what he does. Two more names of Jehovah. The next one is Ra. R-A-A-H. Jehovah Ra. The Lord my shepherd. That's what we find in Psalm 23, perhaps the best known psalm. First verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. In the Hebrew, that's Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Ra. The Lord my shepherd. We read in Exodus 13, 21, The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. The Lord is our shepherd. He does not save us and then leave us to ourselves. You understand, Jehovah starts, continues, and ends the process. He's Jehovah. David prays in Psalm 25 and verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." The same God that quickened our sensitivities to our own sin and led us to repentance for our sin and directed our attention to the cross and gave us grace to believe in the Savior who caused us to be born again and reconciled to God and gave us righteousness is also the God who leads us all the way along now as He fights our battles. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." How dare we live scattered and chaotic and undirected life when Jehovah is our shepherd? There may be those who are confused about how to appropriate the cross, who may be unsure of their salvation, not sure how to stop sin from having dominion over them. Look to Jehovah Raah. That's what He does. You may get some counsel through this book or that sermon or talking to these people, and there's a place for that. But ultimately, you go to Jehovah Raah, the Lord, my shepherd. The same Lord who governs the course of all the heavenly bodies in the universe is there to lead you. The last name of the Lord is Jehovah Shammah. S-H-A-M-M-A, Shammah. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there. We find that in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48 and verse 35. It's the last verse, I believe, of that book. That last section, the millennial kingdom, is being described. And there in the midst of the people is the Lord. There's the great comfort that we aren't just cared for eternity, but the Lord is in our midst. He desires fellowship with us more than we do of Him. He's given His Son to win this fellowship and provide the means by which a sinful people can be reconciled and live with a holy God. We read in Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." Listen now to verse 5. "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Behold, a virgin shall be with child," we read in Matthew 1:23, "and shall bring forth a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." "Lo, I am with you always," Jesus said, "even to the end of the world." God with us now, God with us forever. This is the Jehovah who has given us Romans 6:23. Every step along the way, we see the hand of a magnificent Lord who can do whatever He chooses to do. Don't you want to worship Him? The more we learn of Him and His names and His wondrous deeds, how can we not but say, "Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name." See, everyone loves a Cinderella story. Servant girl to royalty, a washed-up athlete to Super Bowl champ, rags to riches, pauper to prince, bum to hero. There is no greater Cinderella story, though, than yours and mine. The wages of sin is death. That's where we were. But God has taken us from slave to sin to servant to righteousness. God has taken us from barrenness to fruit bearing, from despair to hope, from darkness to light, from fiery flames to streets of gold, from endless death to endless light. The gift of God, the gift of God, property voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. Let us worship Jehovah. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, that the Lord would broaden our comprehension, deepen our awe of a God who existed before there was any spatial, temporal universe, didn't need anything, doesn't need anything, but causes all things to occur out of nowhere. How wonderful it is to know that this Jehovah would be intimately interested in us and provide all the means in every aspect to deliver us from the domain of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. God, give us a deep spirit of worship, a wonder in awe. May our lips speak forth thy praise. In Christ's name, amen.